Welcome to Bob's Grill. Each week this August, I'm inviting you to join me in my backyard to fire up the barbecue and turn up the heat. What with rising temperatures, I might not even have to light the coals. Last year, the website Inside Climate News published an investigative series examining ExxonMobil's rich history of scientific study on fossil fuels and global warming. Yes, you heard that right. Exxon was at the forefront of climate change research in the 1970s and 80s, before pivoting to funding climate change denial groups in 1989 and for 20 years thereafter. Enter the publication called Inside Climate News, its series on those abandoned research efforts titled Exxon, The Road Not Taken, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize and took home many of the most prestigious journalism awards of the year. But the plaudits haven't stopped Exxon from denying the investigation's conclusions. In September, I spoke with Richard Kyle, ExxonMobil's senior advisor for global public affairs. Inside Climate News had just published the first installment of its series. I asked him to explain why Exxon was so furious about what the website had reported.
Well, they have accused us of knowing for certain that climate change was a real problem in the early 1980s and then abandoning our research into that to fund climate denial. Nothing could be further from the truth. We have an uninterrupted, continuous 30-year history of researching this important topic. And in the last decade alone, we've spent more than $300 million into both reducing emissions in fossil fuels and researching and exploring alternative energy sources. The reporting is simply flat out wrong.
I don't believe the piece asserted that Exxon had scientific certainty. The piece I read said that Exxon was doing some of the early research about the possibilities, and those possibilities were alarming, but not that there was any scientific certainty about how it all would play out.
Well, the story also accuses us of then abandoning our research into that and getting into funding denial. And in fact, we have an uninterrupted history, 30 years and running, of doing research on this. Our own scientists and researchers have either authored or played significant contributing roles to more than 50 peer-reviewed journals on this topic. And as we know, over time, certainty and knowledge about the risks of climate change and causality became clearer in the late 1990s, for instance, in a way that wasn't possible in the early 1980s, which is the period of time they've chosen to write about. So the story suggests that we knew at a time when nobody did.
As early as the 70s, the National Academy of Sciences was sounding the alarms about the potential for catastrophic warming and melting of ice sheets and so on.
The key word here, though, the key word is potential. There were a range of possibilities people were considering. We and others were completely open to the idea that human activity could cause this, but there simply wasn't any certainty.
You mentioned the $300 million that ExxonMobil has spent over the last decade in pursuit of more science on this subject. In each of the past 2 years, ExxonMobil has earned $33 billion in profits. So $300 million over a decade? Apart from the relatively small sum invested in research, there's also the matter that you're kind of changing the subject. This reporting by Inside Climate News doesn't really concern itself with what ExxonMobil has done lately. It's concerning itself with a very sharp change in corporate behavior and apparently strategy 25 years ago, namely that you dismantled some significant percentage of this research program and, beginning in about 1989, started pouring millions and millions of dollars in the funding of 36 organizations, some of which were transparently industry front groups and some which were right-wing economics advocacy groups that themselves spent decades in various degrees of climate denial.
The reporting here, Bob, recalls a famous saying from the late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan: everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but not to their own facts. And the fact of the matter is, we have a continuous and uninterrupted commitment to climate change research.
I can list the names of the 36 organizations, some populated with fringe environmental scientists with quotation marks around it, and some by literally the same personnel who represented big tobacco in the 70s as it lied to the public and its own shareholders about the risks of smoking. And these people were spewing what is very clearly, as phrased by the Royal Academy of Sciences in Britain, disinformation. On the media's interest in all of this is partly the story by Inside Climate News. It's also partly the issue of how proactive Exxon was over a couple of decades in funding these groups and in printing these op-ed ads in the New York Times.
We don't fund those groups. As the science has emerged and become clearer, we're more committed than ever to researching this important topic.
We don't fund them, or we didn't fund them. You got out of the funding business 2009 or some such, but for 20 years before that, you poured...
I'm going to finish my thought here, Bob.
Please clarify this for me. Are not funding or did not fund them?
We are not funding.
Okay, so who cares? It's so simple. If you did fund these different disinformation campaigns to muddy the issues on climate science, the question is, why? Why go from a white hat operation that funds very serious research into a damage control operation that seeks to muddy the issues for the public? Why?
Bob, I reject that narrative, and again, context matters here. There is certainty now around climate change and the causes that didn't exist in the early 1980s. It didn't exist in the late 1980s. It didn't exist in the early 1990s. Once our company was satisfied that not only was it a real and growing and immediate concern, but human activity had something to do with it, we became even more committed to doing the kind of research that I've been describing to you.
You've characterized the Inside Climate News reporting as being flat wrong across a whole area of details. We just had a conversation with them in which they said that they submitted to you personally a long list of 30 or more specific questions tied to specific facts that they culled from the documentation that was from Exxon's own archives in many cases and peer-reviewed journals. They asked for your response to these questions. They say you declined to provide it.
They came to us at the 11th hour with a long list of questions and in three separate occasions declined to provide documents for our review that were not from publicly available areas. At no time did they produce any of these records to us for our examination.
In the journalism world that I live in, and you are a senior media advisor, so you should be well aware of this, it is not the news organization's responsibility to go to the subject or the source and say, here's what we have. It's its responsibility to ask questions and try to get answers. And they didn't get answers.
In the journalism world I lived in for 20 years before changing careers, if I had the goods on somebody, I would present them with the evidence and give them time to respond. We weren't afforded that opportunity and that courtesy. And my suspicion is the reason we weren't is because they knew if we had a chance to look at these documents and put them in context, they wouldn't have a story. We are committed to science and research around climate change. We have been uninterrupted for 30 years, and their reporting doesn't change that fact.
Uninterrupted, Dick?
I'm sorry?
Because the whole premise of their story is that it was very much interrupted, a very long detour in which Exxon went from a seeker of scientific evidence to a denier of scientific consensus.
That is patently untrue, and it does a great disservice to the scientists and researchers who have been looking into this and other important topics for us without interruption for more than 30 years now.
All right, Dick. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Richard Kyle is Senior Media Advisor for ExxonMobil. The Inside Climate News series, along with similar reporting from the LA Times, also prompted several attorneys general, including New York's Eric Schneiderman, to open investigations of their own into what Exxon knew and when it knew it. Schneiderman has said that his investigation focuses on fraud, that ExxonMobil's statements have misled investors about what the company knew internally about the damaging effect of greenhouse gas emissions and their effect on the company's financial future. But it doesn't end there. Congressman Lamar Smith, the Republican chairman of the House Science Committee, has issued subpoenas of his own. These accusing Schneiderman, the Massachusetts Attorney General, and eight environmental groups of trying to quash the free speech of Exxon scientists. Schneiderman has refused to comply with Smith's subpoena, and his ExxonMobil investigation is ongoing. In the meantime, the oil giant has been fighting similar investigations with lawsuits against the attorneys general. We'll stay on this story, and we'll see you back here next week when we'll be serving up some more seared flesh right here on Bob's Grill.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.